Genesis 17. Let's read verses 15 through 17. I know the title in the bulletin shows Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac, but we're just going to deal with Sarah this morning. It's a great blessing here. Genesis 17, 15 through 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? This is the story of God speaking to Abraham concerning Abraham's bride or wife, Sarah. And also the Lord speaks to him concerning his sons, Ishmael, both of them, and Isaac. The Lord is telling him what he had already purposed to do and what he would do. All that the Lord God said to Abraham, he had already purposed, and it was as good as done concerning his wife, concerning his sons. And we need to learn that for our comfort. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And we need to commit that verse to memory, Acts 15:18. All God's works are known unto him from the beginning of the world. Just as God purposed all things concerning Abraham, his wife, and his sons, so it is with us. Everything. What the world does not like, we love. God's predestinating purpose, that all things truly work together for our good, the good of God's people, who are the called according to his purpose. Everything's on purpose. There are no accidents. There's nothing left to chance. Our God has ordered all things, and it's sure. And he says it's good. And we don't see right now, perhaps, how it's good for us, but we will. One day we'll know even as we've been known. But we are blessed to at least believe that and know that in our heads and somewhat in our hearts, that the living and true God is the one who's hands our breath is, let alone all our ways. Yeah. That ought to give us great comfort. Great comfort. Our family, our children, all things concerning us are in the hands of our sovereign God. Everything. That's not so with modern religion, with the God preached today. For some reason, I've seen this saying on signs around various religious places in these days that say this. Several signs have said the same thing. No problem is too great to put in God's hands. Have you seen that? It's on the sign of that little place in Boone's Mill. It's on the sign, various places. No problem is too great to put in God's hands. I don't want a God, but I have to put things in his hands. Do you? What kind of God is that? In other words, I have control over these things, and then when I get so desperate, I'll finally turn it over to him. And I'm running the show. I'm the pilot of my life, and when things get too rough, then he takes over. That's not the God of the Bible. That's no God at all. How thankful I am that all things are indeed in his hands from the beginning. He said that in Isaiah. He said, I've carried you from the womb. I've carried you from the womb. And he says, to your hoary heads I'll carry you. How foolish and ignorant, proud man is to think that he is in control of anything. Well, I don't want to be in control. God says to Abraham in verse 15, he said, as for Sarah, and her name is hard to pronounce, this is her, Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And he says, I will bless her and give thee a son of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. God says, I will, and she shall, and this shall happen. God had purposed it, and it's going to take place. He said in Isaiah 43, I will work, and who will let it? Who will prevent it? That's the God of the Bible, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, saying, I've spoken it, I'll do it, I've purposed it, it will come to pass. You say, is man just a puppet, just a robot then? Is he has no accountability, no actions? Well, he is accountable. But the Scripture says it is God that worketh in us both to will and do. Whosoever will, well, whosoever will, because it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's God's word. That's the God of the Bible. This is good news. This gives us hope concerning our lost loved ones. We're not going to look at Ishmael. We're going to devote a whole message to him Wednesday night or whenever. Ishmael was a wild man. The Lord said he would be a wild man, a wild son. And Abraham was very concerned about that wild son. And the Lord said, I've purposed all things concerning him. Don't you worry about Ishmael. He's under my control. I'm going to do with Ishmael what I purpose to do. You just rest in that. So that's our hope concerning all things that God has purposed, determined, ordered all things, and they're sure. And this is our salvation. This is our salvation. And it's our salvation from despair, from anxiety, from fear, from worry. Will save us from much, much fear and doubt and worry, believing in our God who's purposed all things. And our, whoever it is, they will, if they are one of God's elect. All right? He says, now as for Sarai, the Lord God says, call her name Sarah. Sarah shall her name be. The word Sarai, and I'll tell you in just a minute, but the Lord named her. The Lord named Sarah. I don't know who gave her name when she was born, but the Lord purposed that too. But the Lord, when He named people in the Old Testament, it was, their names are significant. They have a purpose. They have a meaning. The names of the people in the Old Testament that God deals with for our learning, their names foretell something. They prophesy of God's will and purpose concerning that person. All the names of God. Adam. The Lord named the first man Adam. You know what that means? Man. Man. God created man. We come from man. We're the sons of man. And also Edom comes from that. It means red earth. That's where the Lord formed Adam from. Eve means what? The mother of all living. She's our mother. That is, we came from her. Ish, the Lord, man, that's a Hebrew word for man. Ish, or it means man. Isha, of man. The man was not of the woman. The woman's of the man. Where did we come up with the word woman? We came from man. Abel, keeper of the sheep. And so on and so forth. Sarai. Now her name, that original name, means dominated. In other words, one who seeks dominion. One who wants to rule. That was Sarah's natural born name. Her name meant one who wanted to have the rule, the dominion, to be the one in power, in charge. And the Lord said, "Don't change your name to Sarah, princess." One who's ruled over. Sarah. Sarah is a type of every person the Lord saves, every one of God's elect, every believer. How He must change our rebellious hearts, our rebellious minds, our ways, change us from being free will, rebellious, self-willed men and women who think we're in charge, who want to be in charge, to one who says, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Until we want to say, "The Lord rules, the Lord reigns, and I am His servant." Sarai, dominative, one who wants dominion. To Sarah, princess. The Lord says she's going to be a princess. Now, there's two ways that you are a princess. Two ways one is a princess. By birth and by marriage. That's fitting, isn't it? Sarah, a princess, means a daughter of the king. Daughter of the king, a princess. One is born, if he's born of a king, she is born of a king, she's a princess. She's born a princess. If she marries a king's son, then she's a princess. You see, either by birth or by marriage, one becomes a princess. And what a picture that is of every believer. Born a rebel. But God says, "No, I'm going to change their name. They're going to be a son. By birth, son of God." And since we're the female, we're going to be princess. A daughter of the king. It says in one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 45. Listen to this. Psalm 45 says, "The king's daughters are among thy honorable women, upon thy right hand. Hearken, O daughter, and consider. Incline thine ear." See, you had nothing to do with your birth. Be glad, be thankful for this birth. "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. The rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious with it. Her clothing is of wrought gold." And then we're made a princess or a daughter of the king by birth, by being married to the king's son. Very soon we're going to look at Hosea and Gomer. I've been listening to my pastor preached from that and received a great blessing. Very soon we're going to look at that. How the Lord told a man to marry a woman of whoredom and she became his bride. That's us. Now, I want you to think about this. God has not yet spoken to Sarah. He's speaking to Abraham. He's not yet said a word to Sarah. Abraham has gone to Sarah and told her this. God is speaking to Abraham. For this reason, I don't believe Sarah was yet a believer. Everything spoken of here is spoken of Abraham. Abraham received the promise. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Sarah's got to hear from the Lord. Sarah's got to be spoken to. She's got to hear His voice. And she does in the next chapter. And the way she hears it is he sharply rebukes her. And that's fitting. But the Lord said to Abraham concerning Sarah, this is what her name's going to be. See, He's telling Abraham what all He's going to do concerning Sarah before He even talks to Sarah about it. Before He reveals this to Sarah. He has already purposed it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This rebel is going to be brought down. And there's going to be life created in her. And she's going to be a blessing. This is a picture. Sarah is a picture of the church. She's a picture of Christ's bride. God said to Abraham, what God said to Abraham, He said to Christ concerning His people. I will bless her, your wife. She's going to be a blessing. I'm going to put life in her. A son's going to come out of her. Go to Galatians 4 with me. Galatians chapter 4. Go over there. Abraham's seed is what impregnated Sarah and brought forth life. Well, Christ is our husband whose seed that God puts in us. Here, look at Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. See, Sarah is a picture of the church in general and every believer in particular. Galatians 4, verse 26. Says, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The Jerusalem, he's talking about New Jerusalem. We're going to look at that in Revelation in a minute. But Jerusalem is New Jerusalem, that is, true Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, is the church. Is the church. And she's, which is above, is free. She's the church in heaven. We're the church on earth. The church in heaven is free. Free from sin. Free from suffering. Free from all these things. And she's the mother of us all. As it is written, verse 27, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, you who were barren and dead and dry and now full of life. Thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, he says, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. We're the children. And you see, Christ is our husband. He is the Word. He is the seed. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in us, the church, is our hope, is our life. The Word, the seed, and this is what God does through His church, like nations and people would come out. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Nations and people came out of Sarah, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And that in the context of His church, where His people are born again and brought forth and nurtured. This is what this Revelation 12 is all about. It's the church. Roman Catholicism, which is false religion, which is the part of the great whore, takes this as meaning Mary, the Virgin Mary, who is queen in heaven. No, sir, she's not queen of heaven. She doesn't have the moon under her feet. No, no. This is talking about the church. Look at Revelation 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. That's the church. That's the bride of Christ, clothed with His righteousness, the Son of righteousness, clothed with Him. The moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. The apostles. And verse 2, she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Well, we just read in Galatians 4, didn't we, what that's talking about, didn't we? The church who bears sons through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 4 and 5, the red dragon, which is Satan, persecuted her. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. That's his ministers who've transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, Satan's false prophets, which are many. The dragon stood before the woman, ready to be delivered, to deliver sons. Nothing Satan wants more than these children to be aborted. He doesn't want them to hear the gospel. He knows what the power of God is. Yes, he does. It's his grand design to keep people from hearing the gospel. He knows. He sees it happen. He's seen many taken out of his captivity through the preaching of the word. And there's nothing he opposes more than the preaching of the gospel. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood this morning to try to hear the gospel, but with principalities and powers, because this is our freedom. You know the truth will set you free. Free from yourself. Free from Satan. Free from fear. Verse 5. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations. Christ is that one chosen from among his people in the midst of his brethren, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Christ in the church, in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. All right, go to Revelation 21. Go over here. Let's look at this. Revelation 21. And this is what Paul was writing of in Galatians 4, verse 1 and 2. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Is that an actual city? No, it's his church. Read on. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And the great voice said, the tabernacle of God is with men. And that's what John said, or the angel said to John down in verse 9. He said in the last line, come hither, I'll show ye the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he's carried me away and to show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. That's people. Not a place. We don't worship a place any more than we worship this building. We don't worship a denomination. We don't worship a doctrine, a creed, the Baptist doctrine. We worship God. And his church is a people. All right. So Sarah is a picture of the church. A people. God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue who are his church. And Sarah is a picture of every believer in particular. Every believer. The Lord said that there's going to be a son in her. I'm going to put a son in her through you, Abraham, your seed. And isn't that what God does to us? He that hath the son hath life. But where did it come from? Christ is the seed. His word is the seed. The gospel planted in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. She's going to be changed from an old woman to a new woman. Birth of a child is a wondrous thing. It's a miracle of God's grace. It's a miracle of God. She's going to be a new woman. She's been a barren woman up to this point. She's been a sad woman. She's been a bitter woman. She's been a rebellious woman. She's been a dominating woman. I'm going to change her, he said. I'm going to put life in her. This is going to change everything about her. You know, the old Puritan preachers and the old reformers used to call the gospel the pregnant gospel. That the word was pregnant. Pregnant means full of life. When a woman becomes pregnant, she's full, isn't she? Full of life. She had nothing to do with it. She was impregnated. And this life, God gives this life. And when a woman becomes pregnant, you ever notice a sheep takes on a glow? Huh? She just glows, doesn't she? She has a look of, she's full of life. And that's exactly what God does to a person who's dead in trespass and sin. He puts this glow, he causes his face to shine upon them. He puts Christ in them, a new creature. And they become a new person, pregnant, full of life. Christ in us. Well, look at verse back in our text. So Sarah represents the church. Sarah represents every believer. Abraham represents Christ, who God made this covenant with, whose seed we are, and whose seed is in us, from whom we get life. He is our life. All right, verse 17 now. Abraham, when he heard this wonderful news, he's already heard it. He's already heard it two or three times, hasn't he? I asked last Sunday, does a 100-year-old man, 99-year-old man need to hear the same message over and over again? I looked at you, Mom, and you kept going. Does an old person need to hear the same promises over and over again? Oh, you've heard them before. Surely you believe them fully by now. You don't need to be reminded, surely. Huh? Surely you completely trust the Lord and you never have a downtime. You never have unbelief. You never have any doubts or fears. You believe the Lord fully and you don't need to be reminded that ever again, do you? Nothing could be further from the truth. Tell me again. Peter said, I'm going to remind you and remind you and remind you. These things must be had in your remembrance. So the Lord again and again and again tells Abraham. And how do you know that Abraham knows the gospel, that Abraham loves the gospel, that Abraham loves the truth? It says Abraham, God preached the gospel to Abraham. This is the gospel. How do you know he loves it? Because when he heard it for the umpteenth time, he fell on his face and laughed. Me laughing every now and then may irritate you. But I can't help it. I listened to a preacher the other day. You listen to him too. He does it quite a bit. I told you before of a man named Henry Breedlove down in Sylacauga, Alabama. I'll never forget that man. What a dear, dear man he was. Worked in a mill, Avondale, where Robin's grandmother worked in a garment factory like Ellen worked in. He worked there for years, 30, 40 years. And while he was a pastor, they couldn't afford to pay him much, but he pastored this church for 40-some years. Faithful, faithful man. And I went there ever since I was born. And the thing I remember always about him was he laughed a lot. He would go to every Bible conference. And he would sit right down on about the second row where Brother Stan's sitting. And I was forced, yes, forced, to sit on the front row as a boy where my dad could keep his eye on me, I guess. But I remember that old fella laughing all the time. Preacher would be preaching, he'd just bust out laughing. And I just didn't understand. Because I did not hear the joke that he was telling. I do now. I do now. And so one of my favorite verses of Scripture is Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dreamed. In other words, this is too good to be true. Then were our mouths filled with laughter, wherein we said, the Lord hath done great things for us, wherein we are glad. Can't help it. Can't help it. Something so wonderful. Abraham heard something so wonderful, so marvelous, so miraculous, so above and beyond what he could even think or ask for, that he fell on his face and broke out laughing. All right, let me ask you something. Is there anybody who's dead in trespasses and sin in your family? You got any rebels in your family? You got a mother or a father who doesn't know Christ? You got a son or a daughter or a wife or a husband that doesn't know the Lord? What if the Lord came to you and said, they're going to have life. I'm going to save them. What would you do? How would you react? Hope up. Hope up. Hope in His mercy. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, joy in the morning. Joy in the morning. See, the story here is of our God's sovereign purpose, as in every story in the Bible. Our God's sovereign purpose, electing mercy and grace in choosing a people to save by His Son and putting His Son in them, putting life in a dead sinner, quickening them from the dead. That's the story. That's the gospel story. Always has been, always will be. He that hath the Son hath life. Can God save a 99-year-old man? Huh? Oh, yeah. He's able. Can God save an 80-year, a 90-year-old woman? Yes, He's able. Can God quicken one who's been long dead in trespass and sin, even stinking? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's not, is anything. He's going to say that to Abraham in the next chapter. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anybody too dead? Is there anybody too dry? Is there anybody too cold? Is there anybody too old? Oh, come on. Hope up. Hope up. And as I said, this is a picture of the church. The church. You know, a church can dwindle, a church can get down and feel like it's dried up and feel like it's dead and feel small and that there's no life there. You know that? As long as the seed is there, as long as the gospel's being preached there, there's hope. It may go a long time and seem like, well, is the Lord through here? No. No, as long as the gospel is preached, there's hope. I mentioned the church down in Sylacauga. And that church...